This is the Intuition Sessions. You're listening to Session 10. Life is on the job training that involves consistently listening to our intuition so that we become better at reading it. Sometimes we'll determine a meaning that's a bit off base. Sometimes we'll be spot on. We can't become practiced without utilizing it. When we learn to read, we start off with our best guess, trying to break down words and pass the information. Even now, as adults, if we read information with bias, we will determine a certain meaning, we'll misread the information, we'll infer certain meanings or exclude information that doesn't fit what we want it to. Do you know where else we do this? With a fear or a belief and a story that we're clinging to. Similarly, as we grow, we learn to read situations, to read social cues, facial expressions. Sometimes we're spot on, and sometimes we're off base. Sometimes when one person makes a particular facial expression, it means X. But maybe when someone else makes it, it means Y. We become aware of context. We gradually become aware of our biases. We grow in emotional intelligence. Stress, hunger, tiredness, loneliness, anxiety, etc. make it difficult to read our intuition. Self-care through boundaries and taking care of our well-being in general means that we're primed to be open to receiving information. If we're burned out, we won't know our backside from our elbow because we're disconnected. It's not that intuitive information isn't there, but it might take longer for us to decipher it or for it to come through because we're, well, frazzled. Even recognizing and accepting these aspects of our humanness make it so much easier to recognize factors that are impacting on our ability to know what we need to do. It's vital to recognize that our intuition and the files it's drawing upon are consistently updating and are as good as how we use it. The more compassion we have, the more open we are to healing, learning, and growing, the more open we are to recognizing the lessons that situations that don't go our way have to offer us. We learn to surrender, listen, and surrender some more. We stop white-knuckling life and recognize that we need to slow down and be as present as often as possible. It's also that we become increasingly aware of how we're not separate from our body, from our life. What we don't listen to within, we'll receive signs from outside of us, which will create more signs within us. We will undoubtedly go off base, but people who listen to their intuition on a regular basis and pay attention to the lessons from where fear and ego has dictated feel as if they can go back to base. This is something that no matter what your past experience is with your intuition, you can start investing in it now. Your intuition is your intuition, and it's down for you to trust it. You might pick up something at the gut level that there maybe isn't an overwhelming amount of evidence to support it. Someone else might think that you're overreacting or assuming the worst about the person or situation. They don't know what you know. They don't see what you see. While when you become adept at intuiting what's going on in your own life and even picking up on what's going on around you, it might mean that others value your instincts and abilities. It's not always going to be possible for people to get where you are coming from. They might be in their heads and not prone to listening to their own intuition. They might think you're being woo-woo. No one comes to us on our 18th birthday with a glowing manual filled with a life plan and a timeline of everything that's going to happen. We're not given instructions on how to handle things or a heads up about who's right or wrong for us. For a start, that would remove the mystery of life. We wouldn't learn anything. Us humans are contrary creatures. We want to know everything and have certainty. And yet when we're given information, whether it's via our intuition or overwhelming evidence right in front of us, we choose to ignore it. Remember, intuition is not a fortune teller. Having listened to thousands of people share their stories about experiences with their intuition, something becomes patently clear. They have an unrealistic expectation that they, or at least their intuition, are supposed to be a fortune teller. It's like they expect their intuition to know everything. Incidentally, this is an example of where we can recognize that our ego, not us, is doing the talking. Only the ego needs to know what is going to happen in 2099. For argument's sake, let's say that you go to visit a medium or fortune teller, a good one. They tell you that within 3 days, you're going to meet the love of your life. Or maybe they tell you that you're about to be offered the opportunity of a lifetime. Now, imagine that on hearing this, you go home and make sure that you don't leave the house for 72 hours, that you don't answer the phone or the door or anything. Maybe you stay there for an extra couple of days just to be on the safe side. You can't exactly turn around and be like, the medium is a liar. However, when we are increasingly connected to our intuition due to listening and acting on it, we can often have a sense of inner knowing about certain things that are going to happen, even though we don't have proof right now. These, I believe, are those moments where our soul, I don't know, something deeper within us, comes through and hints at our purpose and our path. It keeps presenting impressions, flashes, messaging of what might be random times, but that when the dots are connected further down the line, it suddenly makes sense about what your intuition is trying to communicate. You might say, I'm afraid of what will happen if I don't listen to my fear. It's too risky to listen to my intuition. Really, what you have to ask is, what's the cost of not listening? This will become increasingly evident. What will you do instead? And is that fear driven? Fear is there to help you, not screw you up, but it is overzealous and prone to emotional blackmail once your ego gets on the case. If you embrace these nuggets of knowledge, you can befriend fear and take what you need and dispense with the rest. Fear needs your conscious input and your willingness to strive to create healthy boundaries so that you can take care of your emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. Feeling afraid at times is healthy and necessary. Living in fear is not. There's no need to strive to eliminate fear from your life. It's a valid and critical emotion that's there to help you take care of you. But it's not the only emotion, nor is it more important than all the others. It's on the same level. And when you stop treating it like it's the grand poobah of your emotions, you have more sense of self and are emotionally available. You can hear fear. You can experience it without jumping on the train and riding it to chaos and pain. It's possible to retrain your brain by becoming more conscious of how you respond to fear and differentiating between it and the ego, as well as recognizing whether it is helpful or harmful. Teach you not to overreact and panic, and learn from those instances where you do, without shaming you. Everything is knowledge and guidance for your personal growth. Teach you to become aware of your surroundings, to remind you that you're not in the past, and to become clear about whether it's irrational or rational. Teach you to have clear boundaries. This means that you will differentiate between your feelings and those of others, your thoughts and their thoughts, your body and actions versus theirs. By becoming more mindful in your approach, you will start to update those files in your subconscious. You will begin to feel like someone you can rely on. Fear then becomes a message that communicates to you and life, I am willing to take risks, to change, to heal, grow, and learn.